All right, Father God, I thank you this morning, and I praise you, and I give you honor and glory for giving us this insight to what's going to be happening as we go out into the world again. And Father God, the words that you had me encourage these people with this morning, I cover the blood of Jesus right now so that it'll stay in their remembrance. And I know you're going to send the majority of these people out to do their own ministries. And Father God, they will be equipped to keep their self covered. And Father, I thank you for the message this morning. And I thank you, Father God, that you even showed me that it's for this church. And Father God, I thank you that you've already anointed it. Your anointing is already here. I thank you for what you did for your daughter, Caitlin. And Father God, let that we plead the blood of Jesus over that, that the enemy can't steal it away from her. And Father, you know whatever need is in here this morning, meet each and every need, Father. And Father, we ask you that in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to teach on waiting on the Lord with thanksgiving. That was the title of their seminar, whatever it was. But as I studied about this, I thought, this is really good. So let's just hear what waiting on the Lord with thanksgiving is all about. We think of waiting as something we endure in order to get what we want. But God speaks about waiting as the way that we grow when we don't have what we want. Let's read that again. We think of waiting as something we endure in order to get what we want. But God speaks about waiting as the way that we grow when we don't have what we want. So waiting is not wasted time. In fact, waiting can be the greatest growth opportunity of your life. Isaiah 30:18-19. But God's not finished. He's waiting around. This is a message Bible. But God is not finished. He's waiting around to be gracious to you. He's gathering strength to show mercy to you. God takes the time to do everything right. Everything. Those who wait around for him are the lucky ones. Oh yes, people of Zion, citizens of Jerusalem, your time of tears is over. Cry for help and you'll find its grace and more grace. The moment he hears, he will answer. Then Psalm 62:1-2 says, a David psalm, God, the one and only, I'll wait as long as he says. Everything I need comes from him, so why not? Now see, you're not patient. You're waiting, not waiting as long as he says. He's solid rock under my feet, breathing room for my soul, an impregnable castle. I'm set for life. All right? Lamentations 3:25. See, this is, you read this and say, yay, amen, you're lying. Because you don't do this. Lamentations 3:25. God proves to be good to the man who passionately waits and to the woman who diligently seeks. God proves to be good to the man who passionately waits to the woman who diligently seeks. In the Old Testament, the psalmist celebrates waiting patiently for the Lord. Psalm 40:1. A David psalm, I waited and waited and waited for God. At last he looked, finally he listened. Read that again. A David psalm, I waited and waited and waited for God. At last he looked, and then finally he listened. He lifted me out of the ditch, pulled me from deep mud. He stood me up on a solid rock to make sure I wouldn't slip. He taught me how to sing the latest God song, a praise song to our God. And Isaiah 40:31 promises that those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. 1 Kings 18:1-2. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. Now, I want you to listen to what this is a prophetic word given to Elijah. Now, this is what we're going to study about. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab, and there was a severe famine in Samaria. Now, here God spoke a prophetic promise into Elijah's life. I'm going to stop here because God reminded me of something. Somebody asked me up there last night, how come you can speak so boldly? And I said, because I know, and I know, and I know that God called me. And I know I'm not in sin. And I know that God is with me wherever I go. She said, well, how do you know that you're of God? I said, I just know. that I know, that I know that I am God's child. I didn't want to go into all the different things God has shown me. But see, each one of you sitting here this morning, you know that you know that you know whether or not you are God's child or not. And if you know that you're doing everything God's called you forth to do, if you know you're walking in holiness, if you know that you're being obedient to Him and you're listening to His voice, you know that you're God's child. And you can talk boldly wherever you go. All right? Well, you have no fear. No, I don't have. They said you'd have no fear. I said, no, I don't have no fear. Because God is with me wherever I go. How do you know that? I see, these are church people. I just know that God is with me. Do you all know that God is with you wherever you go? If you're following God and you're doing the things He's with you whether you are or not, in honesty. But He's not going to bless you if you're in sin. Let's just put it that way. But, and see, a lot of people don't, this one, when you remember the man I told you about, saw the vision, then God showed me he was abusing his wife and she wanted to commit suicide. And I got up and I suppose she went and hugged her and I told her some things and she pulled back away from me and she said, you made a believer out of me. I know right now that my Father in heaven loves me and I don't want to kill myself anymore. Isn't that awesome? See, God made sure I went to her personally and hugged her and spoke into her life what God was saying. See how each one of you can affect somebody. I didn't know God was going to use me to go minister to Caitlin this morning and all of her pain. If you're yielded, God will use you. If your foundation, I told them your foundation has to be love. If your foundation is love, God can use you. But if you don't have love, if you can't love the unlovable, if you can't love your enemies, if you can't love those in your household who abused you and come against you, then God can't use you. And see, this is how I also know that I know that I know that I know that I'm God's child, because it doesn't matter what goes on in my life. And when my love walk starts waning, I cry out to God to refresh me, fill me with that love, because I know without love I'm nothing, but I know I love. Say. So if you know that you love, don't kid yourself about it. But if you know that you love, the devil can't defeat you in any way, shape, or form. He can't come against you. Are you understanding this? So what I'm talking about here this morning is waiting on the Lord. And so I'm talking about waiting on the Lord when He gives you a prophetic promise. When He speaks into your life and tells you this is what's going to happen. And these scriptures we read, like David, he said, I waited and I waited and I waited and I waited and I waited. All right? And I know a lot of us in here, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. But this is a year. And I don't say this because some other prophet said it. I know what God told me. This is the year that we're going to receive every promise. He's going to fulfill every promise He's ever given us. So we can walk in surety of heart. All right? All right, so God spoke a prophetic promise into Elijah's life. God spoke to Elijah and said, go to Ahab and I will send rain. They were having a famine. I will send rain. So in the Old Testament, the prophet Elijah models an important characteristic to walking in the supernatural power of God and receiving miracles. He knew what it meant to celebrate a seed like it actually was the harvest. The seed was the promise. God said, you go to Ahab and I'll bring rain. That was the seed, all right? And he knew how to celebrate that. He knew it was going to bring the harvest. In the very same way, we need to start seeing all signs of breakthrough with a prophetic eye and learn how to thank God for the small cloud in the same way we would thank him for the abundance of rain, all right? Grow in patience. When God does not give what you eagerly desire, a door opens for spiritual growth. In other words, when something doesn't happen when you think it should, that draws you should draw you closer to God. All right, I said, when God does not give what you eagerly desire, a door opens for spiritual growth. Embrace the pain that comes with the fact that you have not had your answer yet. Love God in the disappointment. Detach yourself from the pursuit of paradise in this world and set yourself apart for the Lord. In other words, everybody thinks that this is a rose garden and God's going to answer us instantly and give us everything we ask for. That's not That's not reality. I was there when I first got born again. I'm telling you right now, that's not reality. That's looking for a paradise that doesn't exist. Paul says in Romans 8:24, for in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? How many of you believe in God to save your children? You don't see it yet, but that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. I've read where grandmothers have prayed and prayed and prayed for their grandkids, and they died, and after they died, then the grandkids got saved. They didn't see it, but they still kept praying and believing God for it. Embrace the disappointments of life as opportunities for spiritual growth. When God isn't answering your prayer right now, embrace that disappointment and see it as spiritual growth in the Lord. 1 Kings 18 is very relevant to us today when it comes to thanksgiving and experiencing the supernatural power of God in our lives. Thanksgiving is a vital key to experiencing the miraculous. I'm going to tell you the reason why I can do what I do my prayers have not been answered yet, is because I know that from past experiences, I know that when my Father tells me something, he always brings it to pass. Always. And so even though I'm still waiting for some of those promises to come to pass, I can do it with thanksgiving. Every now and then I grumble, but I can do it with thanksgiving, knowing that when God's timing, he's going to bring it to pass. I don't preach what I haven't already been through, because I can only preach with reality, you know, with what I go through in reality. I can preach it to the point you can believe it. So many of us stop short of our complete miracle because we have never learned how to give thanks for the seed like it was the complete harvest. In other words, God said your grandson's going to straighten up and be a man of God. That's the seed. A couple years go by and that's still the seed. But I know that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. We reserve thanksgiving for when the miracle comes to full fruition. In other words, we don't ever give God thanks or get excited about it until we can see it with our own eyes. Here are some important keys that we can learn from Elijah in 1 Kings 18 to release the faith-building power of thanksgiving in our lives. Number one, Elijah had ears to hear in the spirit before others heard in the natural. 1 Kings 18:41 says, Elijah said to Ahab, up on your feet, eat and drink, celebrate, rain is on the way, I hear it coming. Now remember, that's what God promised him. You go to Ahab and I'll bring the rain. Even though Elijah said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain, I believe this was no natural sound. He was listening in the spirit realm. Every one of us in here this morning, you have to learn to listen in the spirit realm. And you can do that. It doesn't matter what your natural eyes are seeing or what people are speaking into your ears. If you're hearing in the spirit, you're hearing God's voice, and you have surety of heart that God is going to do what he said. All right, from the Old Testament to the end of the book, God is saying, if you can look, because I looked it up, he keeps saying, those who have ears to hear. He'll make a statement, then he said, those who have ears to hear. Revelation 3:6 says, are your ears awake? Listen, listen to the wind words, listen to the wind words, the spirit blowing through the churches. Now, how many times has God said to us, don't you hear the wind? We're sitting here. Remember he said that? He would keep saying, don't you hear the wind? He was saying, listen for the wind in the spirit realm, not through your natural ears, but listen for and hear the wind in the spirit. How many of us did that? I don't think any of us did it. Because if he did, how come he kept saying, don't you hear the wind? Remember him telling us that? Ahab was standing there with Elijah, and he did not hear the rain coming. Why? Because he did not have ears to hear, you know, spiritual ears to hear. We need to have ears to hear prophetically. Then regardless of what is going on, you have a sure anchor in the eternal, unchanging word of the Lord. God's word never changes. It's eternal. This is your advantage and your key to sustaining faith, preserving thanksgiving. Let's read that again. We need to have ears to hear prophetically. Then, regardless of what is going on, you have a sure anchor in the eternal, unchanging word of the Lord. This is your advantage and your key to sustaining faith, preserving thanksgiving. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to last. You're going to buckle when you don't get your answer right away. You become the greatest catalyst of breakthrough when you learn how to hear what God is saying and pray the heavenly realities over the present conditions. All right, what I'm saying here is when you hear with your spiritual ears prophetically what God is saying to you, then you can start praying that prayer over that situation and watch that situation work out the way God wants it worked out. Amen. It is not denying the presence of drought. It simply chooses to focus on and express gratitude for the abundance of rain that is locked up in a small cloud. In other words, what I'm saying here, excuse me, if you have a situation, let's just say, Nancy, you have a daughter who, I'll just say, is on drugs. And God has spoken into your ears, spiritual ears, when in prayer, that she will be cleaned up and she will serve him. Now, that's what you hang on to. You don't pray about what you see, and you don't talk about what you see. You thank God that one day that daughter is going to be standing before the throne of grace praising the Lord. Because what you look at will tear you down. So I said, it is not denying the presence of God. It's not denying that she's not on drugs. All right. It simply chooses to focus on and express gratitude for the abundance of rain that is locked up in the small cloud. In other words, in the seed that God prophetically spoke over that person. The same is true in God's word. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you a unique assurance of abundant rain for your need or present situation. Elijah responded to what he heard, 1 Kings 18:41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. He was in a position to receive. He's in prayer. And said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times Elijah said, go again. So grow in hope. Are you in pain or alone? Have you shed tears? Does this life seem empty to you? Then wait upon the Lord. He's given you a promise. Revelation 21:4 says, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Now, I'm using this scripture to tell you that God sees your tears. God hears your prayers and your supplications, and he does. He says he bottles your tears up, so he does wipe your tears away, and he does answer your prayer. It's just not in your timing. And this is where the body of Christ loses hope. They think that God should answer right now. But God knows the perfect timing for everything. You know, maybe you aren't ready for the answer right now. Maybe you aren't ready for your ministry doors to open up right now. Maybe there's some things in your life that he needs to get right before he sends you out there on the road. If you're married and you're fussing all the time, he's not going to send you on the road. Because you'll go out there and you'll make a spectacle of God and you won't have any more open doors. But you think, well, I could stay home and fuss and run my husband or wife down in my house and then go out there on the road and have a ministry and God will bless it. No, he won't. No, he will not. You need to get that in your head too. All right, the gloomy reality that both Elijah and King Ahab were facing was even though the word of the Lord assured abundant rain to Elijah, there was no rain visible in the natural realm yet. All right? Both men responded to what they heard. Elijah heard in the spirit while Ahab heard with plain natural ears. So many of God's children respond to God's promises from an Ahabic perspective. Basically, they do nothing. They think there is no rain now, which means there will never be any rain. In other words, you aren't answering my prayer right now. My situation is still remaining the same. It's always going to remain the same. You just tied God's hands. You just threw his prophetic word he gave you that was going to change right on out the window. Spiritual maturity is developed as we learn how to persevere and persist. Anchored on God's word, even when our natural circumstances show absolutely no signs of improvement. And I look around and I know a lot of you react to your no improvement. God, you promised. God, you said, blah, 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 you know. And yeah, he did say and he did promise. That's your seed. Now you have to work on that seed and bring it to harvest. In other words, trust God that he's going to do exactly. But when, God, you don't ask that. I'm guilty of that. When, God, you don't ask God that either. That's God's business when he does it. We just sit by and patiently wait. How many years was it for, you know, Jesus, they were promised the Messiah was coming? 400 years, wasn't it? And, you know, a lot of, you, huh? Was it? Over 400 years, anyhow, thank you. He's at 430. But, you know, these people waited all those years for the Messiah. And this one guy said, I'm not going to die until I see that promise. See, he determined his heart, and he died right after, didn't he? He determined his heart, I know God is right. I know God does not lie, and I'm going to not die. A lot of people died. I am not going to die until I see the Messiah. So he didn't. Then when the Messiah came, he died. See, it's what are you determining your heart? How are you persevering? How are you standing on the promises God has given you? This is where we all fall short. I'm as guilty as you are, but I'm not guilty anymore. I've learned my lesson. So I can tell you, quit whatever you're doing and just start believing God. Elijah told his servant to go out and look for signs of rain. The servant returned. Well, you know, you could even say, well, Elijah didn't have any faith, or he wouldn't have told the servant to go look. Well, I think he had a lot of faith to tell the servant to go look. The servant returned telling Elijah what he saw, that he saw nothing. How did Elijah respond? This is how he responded. He didn't say, oh, God, God's wrong again. He didn't do that. 7 times Elijah told him to go and look. Find that in verse 43. This is called perseverance. Come on. 7 times Elijah said, go look again. Go look again. The man probably was tired of running back and forth. Amen. Sometimes you remember when God told me the glory was coming? His next words were, do not grow weary in telling them my glory's coming because it's going to come. How many years has it been? 9 years ago he told me that. You know, and sometimes I say with tongue in cheek, I'm saying God's glory's coming. But see, he knew I was, because he said, do not grow weary in telling them my glory's coming because it's going to come. I thought it was right around the corner. How many times has God told you your answer's right around the corner and you say, what corner? I've done that too. Or there's a light at the end of the tunnel, daughter. I don't see no light. It's dark there yet. This is after 3 years of waiting. See, these are all dumb things that we're not going to do these things no more, are we? We're going to start taking the seed and we're going to start believing the seed until we see it come to harvest. Elijah positioned himself to be thankful, bowed down with his head between his knees, right? For not only did he hear the word of the Lord, but he responded to it like it was true. In other words, we read the scripture where God said, you go to Ahab, I'll bring you rain. So I said, not only did he hear the word of the Lord, but he responded to it like it was true. This is what compelled him to not accept no as an answer from his servant. He knew that word that God spoke was going to come to pass. And he wasn't going to receive no for it, no matter what. Lesson. Did you get the lesson here? If God has given you a promise, you hang on that promise because it is going to come to pass. So many abandoned. How many of you, God's told you something's going to come to pass? I don't want that, God. Well, it's going to come to pass anyhow. It's not what I want. It's what he wants. You know? So, got to learn to do that too. So many abandon breakthrough or step away from the miracle because at the first, second, or even third prayer, there appears to be no results. Elijah heard the word of the Lord and responded like it was true. This caused him to keep pressing in until what he heard became what he saw. Listen to this. Elijah celebrated a small cloud like it was the abundance of rain. In other words, your daughter's not going to be a drug addict anymore. You just dance and rejoice and carry on like a fool, you know, because the abundance of rain has come. She's already not a drug addict. I'm always using my family, so I'll use her. Her daughter's not a drug addict. But you know what I'm saying? Come on. First Kings 18, verse 44. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. That's what the servant came back and said. Finally. A vital key to walking in the supernatural power of God is to increase our awareness of what God is doing. And you do that through prayer. You do that by taking time out to set before the Lord. How do I get the word for the day? I take time to sit down and say, all right, God, I'm here for the word of the day. When you don't see a word, it's because I didn't take time to sit down and ask for one. He's not going to slap me up alongside the head and say, all right, daughter, get out there. I'm going to give you a word. So I get so busy every now and then, I forget to go sit down. And then by then, it's the next day. It's, oh, geez, I missed the boat. You know, so I can't send Brother Chris a note and say, well, this is for yesterday, because he's not going to put it on there. So I'm not going to lie and say, well, I forgot to send it to you. I just forgot to sit down and ask. See what I'm saying? How many of you forgot to sit down and ask God something? Every day you should ask God what's going to go on in your life that day. He might tell you, you really don't want to know. Amen. Come on. I've lost my place now. Am I on focusing? Well, a vital key to walking in the supernatural power of God is to increase our awareness of what God is doing. We must remember that the harvest is in the small seed and the outpouring is in the small cloud. All right? Focusing on what God is doing causes us to be thankful. Instead of being disappointed that we did not receive 100% restoration of hearing, sight, or removal of pain, we celebrate the 30% improvement. All right. As a result, our faith is strengthened to keep on believing for this 60% and the 80% and ultimately the 100%. See, God has told me, daughter, I'm going to heal you totally and completely from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. So I'm holding on to that. I'm not holding on to the fact that I don't see it yet. I'm holding on, and it is coming little by little, but I'm holding on to the 100%. All right. It's like he told Nancy Connell, you are healed. But she doesn't see that healing, but she's holding on to the fact he said, you are healed. She's waiting for the 100%. So what has God told you? Be thankful for the little bit you got and keep thanking him for that, and then it'll start increasing. If you complain, say, oh, well, you didn't heal me like you said, or you didn't open the door for ministry today. I thought it was going to be today. He's not going to answer that, your grumpiness. He's going to use your thankfulness. I just want to encourage you to be thankful for all the little signs of breakthrough and blessing. You people need to understand, if you're doing God's work and God's will, he's going to be there for you. And see, you have to get this in your spirit so you can give this out to other people. Because you're going to meet people that I'll never see. But, you know, each one of you will meet people that somebody else won't meet. And God just didn't pick you up out of the sky somewhere and say, plump you down in front of me. And say, set there for a season. He did it because he's trying to teach you something, because he wants you then to be a minister of the gospel and give them what you know that God has. Every one of you in here should be out ministering the word of God, because God said this would be a revolving door church. He would send in ministers that would be trained and then be sent out to minister. And with the pastors that are being taken out of the pulpits and the pastors that are dying, God's going to need somebody to do this work. And why not you? Why not you? Elijah focused on the small cloud, not the empty sky. You see that? Elijah focused on this small cloud, not the empty sky. All progress, improvement, and change is worth thanksgiving and celebration. I'm just excited. Okay, so I'll use my family. God told me something about one of my children. And they've been really bad here for a couple of years. And yesterday I was on the phone coming back from the thing and to let them know I was on my way back. And before they hung up, they said, I really do love you. They haven't said that for a long time. And they're coming, they're talking, you know. And I can feel the love coming off of them. And God told me, you love that person no matter what they do. And they're going to be awful unlovable. He said, they're going to be unlovable. And boy, did they ever become unlovable. He said, but you love them at all costs. You love. And now they're turning around. They've turned around. And you know, and I've kept believing God. And I know now I'm close to seeing the fruition of that seed that God planted 4 years ago. Been 4 years of hell for me. And for them too, because we're in bondage. But I see it now starting to become a harvest. Are you understanding this? You're not here to be pampered. Jesus was not pampered. Jesus was rejected. Jesus went all through all kind of junk, but yet he stayed the course. And everybody in here, you need to stay the course no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what people do to you, you need to stay the course so that God can use you to complete in you and through you what he first called you to do. All right, I said, Elijah focused on the small cloud, not the empty sky. All progress, improvement, and change is worth thanksgiving and celebration. Granted, it may be a cloud the size of a man's hand, but Elijah responded to that little thing like it was abundance of rain. Now, I hung on to that little I love you like it was a mountain of I love you. You see what I'm saying? 1 Kings 18:44. Then it came, yeah, God really does love me and he really does bless me. And I don't care if you're jealous of me or not because I just love my Father. I do. I'm the most blessed person in the world. That's how I feel about myself. And you all should feel like you're the most blessed person in the world too. You know, you can say, well, who are you? I'm blessed. I'm the most blessed person in the world too. If you don't have that attitude, I believe what I believe though. If you don't have that attitude, then what are you doing? You know, the enemy's always going to come in and tell you you're no good. I tell my, you don't know, devil, I know that I'm blessed. Well, look at your pain. I said, I'm not looking at my pain. I'm looking at the fact that I'm blessed. Look at the mess. I'm not looking at the mess. I'm looking at the fact that I'm blessed. All right? Look how you messed up. I'm not looking at how I messed up. I'm looking at the fact that I'm blessed. You have to let the devil know, and you have to mean that. And I do. I do mean I know I'm blessed. I've actually convinced some people in my family that I'm blessed. Then that God's real. Amen? Because I believe what I say. 1 Kings 18:44, then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. That small hand was going to really grow, really, really, really grow. Why the shout and urgency? Elijah knew, he knew, One guessing, he knew that contained in that cloud was the massive outpouring he heard about and saw in the spirit. What are you seeing in the spirit? Today, start giving thanks for every sign of improvement, healing, restoration, and progress in your situation before it happens. I was thinking about Katie Sousa today. I don't know why. It just popped into my head as I was getting ready. She was in that prison, I'll say 15 years, supposed to be her 15 years, but God somehow supernaturally only gave her 5. She only served 5. Yeah, that was God in his supernatural whatever that he wanted to do in her life. It was supernatural. She doesn't know how she got out either. So, you know, no matter what I'm saying is, no matter what your circumstance is, God can supernaturally, in a blink of an eye, turn that thing completely around. If you continue to believe in the seed that he gave you. And quit questioning what he's told you. Don't question it. Jesus gives us a perfect model of what waiting on God looks like. He delights in the will of the Father. A lot of people don't delight in the will of the Father. And he is ready to do it even when it involves a cross. Now, he delights in the will of the Father. And he is ready to do it even when it involves a cross. A lot of us, that's why we complain, because when a cross comes, we don't want to bear it. All right? He tells us plainly that if we follow him, we should not expect a trouble-free life. Grow in worship. Jesus is not offering us paradise now. Saying yes to Jesus in the disappointments of life will be the highest worship you can offer him. We learn this from the story of Job, who lost everything. In the middle of his pain, he worshiped. We learn it from Jesus, who in the agony of the cross and with his why unanswered, committed himself into the hands of his Father. Worshiping God through disappointment will be the greatest evidence that you love God for himself and just not for his gifts. If all your dreams were fulfilled and if all your prayers were answered, there would be no way of knowing if you love God for himself. Amen. So I want you to think of the great disappointments and the great joys of your life. I want you to think of the great disappointments and the great joys of your life. I want you to think about all the waiting you're doing right now and how you're perceiving that waiting. What has God promised you? Maybe a year ago, and you don't see not one iota of change. How are you perceiving this whole thing? And how are you waiting? Are you waiting expectantly? You know, expecting God to move any given second? Because God said, when I start moving, it's going to be instantly, overnight, by wink of my eye, suddenly, and are you going to be ready? Amen? Come on. I want you to think about all the waiting you are doing right now and how you're perceiving that waiting. I want you to hear God saying to you, I want to make this waiting useful. I want to use it to grow you in my likeness, in patience, hope, and worship. Some of the things I've been waiting on, God wanted me to start loving again wholeheartedly. He wanted me to start putting the past in the past where it belonged. And until I did that, remember he told me, you can go around this mountain as many times as you want, but when you're ready to stop, I'll be right here waiting for you. So when I decide, okay, God, I'm going to put all this stuff, you know, where it belongs, like you asked me to, and I'm ready to get off of this mountain. And he was right there waiting with open arms. So all these things you're hanging on to, you can hang on to them as long as you want to. And but whenever you're ready to get off, God will be there waiting. So why not let go of him today? Job 33:14 says, for God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. In other words, man doesn't understand what God's doing. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men while slumbering on their beds, that's how God could speak. Then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. Read that again. For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men while slumbering on their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. Saints, I'm just hearing God say, my beloved ones, I am answering every prayer. I will give you the desires of your heart as long as they're lining up with me and my word. I just need you to carry the seed to its fruition. And I'm hearing him say, quit hammering your head against a wall, trying to accomplish things yourself because it's not going to work. Take my promises, which are yes and amen, and hold on to them and watch me bring them to pass. He's going to do it, saints. He's going to do it. It might not be what you want, the way you wanted it, but it's the way that God knows it's going to be the best way for you. He knows it's going to bring him glory, and it's going to bring you joy and peace. Because sometimes when we sit down and we start mapping out our own life, we don't know how to make a map. We make a lot of wrong turns on that map. But God knows how to make a perfect map for our life. And he wants, I'm hearing him say, he wants to restore back to us this year everything that the palmer and the cankerworm has stolen. Amen. And I don't mean the year 2017. I mean the new Jewish year that started. And it goes into, it goes from 2016, goes into 2017. He wants to start restoring some things back to you people right now tonight. I'm telling you, you see me be really happy and really excited. And I'm happy and I'm excited because I know that God is fulfilling every promise that he's told me he's going to fulfill. I know that every seed that he's planted prophetically in my heart is going to come to harvest. I know that. Things always get worse before they get better. You have to understand that. seeing, and they get worse before they get better, because that's the enemy getting in there trying to make you quit, trying to make you lose hope, trying to make you lose faith in what God has told you. So let's quit allowing the enemy that privilege of stealing our seed. And let's give God all that we have in happy Thanksgiving. I really believe with all my heart that's why God said this is going to, we should celebrate the month of December and be happy and joyous. That'll drive the enemy to distraction. It'll drive him right out of his gourd. And see, by us being excited and being, you know, for the month of December, that's going to get our eyes upon God again and off of our situation, and God's going to be able to give us one of the, I just feel like this is going to be the best Christmas I've had in a long time. And a lot of things have said, been to the contrary, but God's turned it around and made it. I told my family, we're going to have a really good Christmas. How in the world are you going, rah, rah, rah? You know how that goes. And I said, no, you wait and see. And God turned around and we're having a good Christmas. So you see, guys, it's what you perceive in your spirit. That's what you're going to receive. Amen. Well, my child's locked up in prison for the next 10 years. Is he? My child's in a mental institution for the rest of his life. Is he? What has God promised you? My child is sick and she's never going to be healed. Is that true? What has God said? Say, it doesn't matter what the doctors say. It doesn't matter what your eyes see or what your ears hear. What did God say about that situation? And if God hasn't talked to you about the situation, then sit down before him and say, Father, I really need to know what's going to happen here. And let him tell you. Don't be like, this type of person I am every now and then. I'll do that with God and he'll start saying something I don't want to hear. I said, no, I don't want to hear right now, Lord. And I'll shut down my computer and I'll get walked away because it's contrary to what I want to hear. And then I'll go back and say, okay, tell me what you want to tell me. And then, okay, so this is the way it's going to be. That's fine. But see, don't do what I do. Don't do that. When he starts telling you contrary to what you want to hear, just let him go ahead and tell it to you. All right? Because you're going to turn around and say, I'm sorry, and get to tell him to tell you it anyhow. But God wants to speak to you. He doesn't want to leave you in the dark. The altar is open this morning to give you patience to wait upon the Lord. And what God is going to do, he's going to instruct you. He's going to start speaking to you. And listen to me. If you come up this morning, he's going to start speaking to you personally. And he's going to start telling you how your life is going to turn out. He's going to tell you what the ins and outs are. But you're going to have to really want to hear God's voice for yourself. And don't have any preconceived ideas in your mind whenever you go before the Lord. Empty yourself out. Say, God, I don't care what I want. I want what you want.